Lenina, meanwhile, had turned her eyes away and was looking perpendicularly downward at the monorail station.
"Fine," she agreed. "But queer that alphas and betas won't make any more plants grow than those nasty little gammas and deltas and epsilons down there."
"All men are physico-chemically equal," said Henry sententiously. "Besides, even epsilons perform indispensable services."
"Even an epsilon."
Lenina suddenly remembered an occasion when, as a little girl at school, she had woken up in the middle of the night and become aware for the first time of the whispering that had haunted all her sleeps. She saw again the beam of moonlight, the row of small white beds, heard once more the soft, soft voice that said, the words were there, unforgotten, unforgettable, after so many night-long repetitions, "Everyone works for everyone else. We can't do without anyone. Even epsilons are useful. We couldn't do without epsilons. Everyone works for everyone else. We can't do without anyone." Lenina remembered her first shock of fear and surprise, her speculations through half a wakeful hour, and then, under the influence of those endless repetitions, the gradual soothing of her mind, the soothing, the smoothing, the stealthy creeping of sleep.
"I suppose epsilons don't really mind being epsilons," she said aloud.
"Of course they don't. How can they? They don't know what it's like being anything else. We'd mind, of course, but then we've been differently conditioned. Besides, we start with a different heredity."
"I'm glad I'm not an epsilon," said Lenina with conviction.
"And if you were an epsilon," said Henry, "your conditioning would have made you no less thankful that you weren't a beta or an alpha." He put his forward propeller into gear and headed the machine towards London. Behind them, in the west, the crimson and orange were almost faded. A dark bank of cloud had crept into the zenith. As they flew over the crematorium, the plane shot upwards on the column of hot air rising from the chimneys, only to fall as suddenly when it passed into the descending chill beyond.
"What a marvellous switchback!"
Lenina laughed delightedly. But Henry's tone was almost for a moment melancholy.
"Do you know what that switchback was?" he said. "It was some human being, finally and definitely disappearing, going up in a squirt of hot gas. It would be curious to know who it was, a man or a woman, an alpha or an epsilon." He sighed. Then, in a resolutely cheerful voice,
"Anyhow," he concluded, "there's one thing we can be certain of. Whoever he may have been, he was happy when he was alive. Everybody's happy now."
"Yes, everybody's happy now," echoed Lenina.
They had heard the words repeated 150 times every night for 12 years. Landing on the roof of Henry's 40-story apartment house in Westminster, they went straight down to the dining hall. There, in a loud and cheerful company, they ate an excellent meal. Somer was served with the coffee. Lenina took 2 half-gram tablets and Henry 3. At 9:20, they walked across the street to the newly opened Westminster Abbey Cabaret. It was a night almost without clouds, moonless and starry. But of this, on the whole, depressing fact, Lenina and Henry were fortunately unaware. The electric sky signs effectively shut off the outer darkness. "Calvin Stopes and his 16 saxophonists!" From the façade of the new abbey the giant letters invitingly glared, "London's finest scent and colour organ, all the latest synthetic music!"